The big question in business: could the skyrocketing price of gasoline stunt the American economic recovery?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. Happy Friday. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. We just got word from the government that the American economy hasn't been growing as fast as we thought. The Commerce Department revised the nation's gross domestic product downward for the last 3 months of 2010. Cuts to government spending slowed the growth rate to 2.8%. And worries about gas prices might make the economy even more fragile this year. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch, and she's with us live from New York, as she is every Friday. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
How disappointed should we be with that downward revision?
Well, you know, of course it's a disappointment. We don't like things cut. But, you know, the bigger disappointment may be that our overall growth rate really makes this a pretty pokey recovery. Historically, after recessions, we usually see the economy grow by more like 4 or 5%, and we are hardly at those robust levels this time around.
Pokey. Define pokey. That means intermittent, right? Or just like up and down, volatile.
Yeah, and just slow, you know. And when you see a slow recovery like this, it doesn't bode well for what the next leg up could be.
All right, so that's bad enough. But we've seen these oil prices up nearly 10% for the week because of everything going on in the Middle East and North Africa. How's that going to affect the economy going forward this year?
Well, look, if gas costs more, consumers will have less money to spend elsewhere. And, you know, this definitely affects folks in the lower income brackets more because more of their money is going towards those essentials like gas and food. But, you know, and if Americans stop spending as much elsewhere, then perhaps companies don't make as much money. Maybe they hold back on job creation. You know, this is vicious cycle kind of stuff. But it really has to be that prices stay high enough that this happens. And if it's there long enough, this could increase the risk of recession.
What happened the last time we saw gas? And I remember a few years back, right, when oil was way above $100 a barrel. I mean, what happened when gas prices were so high?
Well, you know, that was the summer of 2008, and we probably didn't realize what was ahead of us, but we were just at this level where gas prices were $4.11 nationally.
Yeah.
It was a huge number. And, you know, frankly, that coincided with the recession. It probably helped to contribute to it. I mean, I know we had a whole crisis that was financial, but that was really a tipping point where consumers started to say, whoa, I can't spend on anything. This is too much. And you also saw the car sales plummet after that. And certainly when you look at the U.S. automakers now, if gas prices are up, this really does not portend well for them.
And we saw those gas prices start coming down during the financial crisis, right?
Absolutely. And remember, the biggest part of gas prices is determined by the price of crude oil. Now, when you have a big economic boom period, there's more demand, right? We have a lot of people who are new drivers in the world, and the demand for oil and gas goes up. But during a recession, we really have reduced demand. People don't want as much of the stuff. And that's when you see oil prices go down, prices at the pump follow.
Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch, thanks.
Great to be with you.
Reports this morning are the number of deaths in New Zealand could top 400 after a powerful earthquake this week near Christchurch. Now, American engineers are descending on that country to measure the damage and, more importantly, learn how to better protect buildings and sewers and the like against earthquakes here in the United States. But Marketplace's Eve Troe asks, will those cities listen?
Richer nations like New Zealand tend to fare better in earthquakes than poorer ones. Brian Tucker is with the nonprofit Geohazards International. He says that's thanks to public funding.
Research and development in how to improve the building code, enacting the building code, and then enforcing it through government agencies.
That doesn't take a lot of money, says Tucker, but governments have to make it a priority. And in places that haven't felt a quake in a long time, like the Midwest on the New Madrid Fault, reinforcing buildings isn't high on the list. Tom Tobin at the Earthquake Engineering Research Institute says strapped local governments are thinking short-term. Earthquake readiness is a long-term issue.
It requires a consistent stream of funding, absolutely. Implementing a program over decades in order to make it work.
Tobin says U.S. roads, sewers, and gas lines are already in bad shape. Cuts to ambulance service or emergency hotlines will mean cities can't respond as quickly to quakes. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are up around the world. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac say they lost $4 billion, nearly, in the last quarter of 2010. And each has asked for more money in federal aid, by the way. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow slipped. It was down 37 points to close at 12,068.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
The Irish people are voting for a new government today, an election that comes just months after a big bailout from European governments. Voters aren't happy about the bailout, and they're not happy about the economy, as the BBC's Nessa Tierney reports.
Ireland was widely admired for its dynamic growth during the boom years, but its housing market crashed even harder than in the United States, and that sent income and growth in the country downward as well. This has meant that young, educated Irish workers are looking outside the Emerald Isle to live and work. Emmett Crichton is a law student and trained carpenter from Galway in the west of the country. He went back to college to retrain and wait for things to get better. But for his brothers, it's a different story. One of them has already moved to Australia to find work, and his other brother is likely to follow.
I have a brother, and going back to university for him isn't really an option, you know. Things are pretty bleak out there. There isn't that many opportunities, so he's thinking of going down to Australia as well.
The ballot boxes today will be full of paper aeroplanes. An online campaign is encouraging young people to fold their voting papers this way to show their anger at having to leave the country to find work. In London, I'm the BBC's Nessa Tierney for Marketplace.
And finally, police in Orlando, Florida, arrested a man for planting a computer virus in the software of all those whack-a-mole games you see at the arcade. He works for the company, by the way. You know the whack-a-moles. It's a great stress reliever. The mole pops out, you smack it back down. Authorities say Marvin Wimberly rigged the technology to fail to create a problem only he could fix. I wonder how many of those game redemption tickets he'll need to post bond. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You've been to a movie lately? Have you noticed something missing in the trailers?
I really think the voiceover became almost a parody of itself, where it's just so easy to spot it and get distracted by it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Voiceovers as a thing of the past. We'll have that, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.